Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Well, okay, how are the Knicks going to stack up against Boston? We know they're the champs, and we know not many people giving the Knicks a chance, but let's see how it plays out. And the questions we had were, okay, well, what if the Knicks don't play their A game? Or even if the Knicks do play their A game, is that going to be good enough to beat the Celtics? The Knicks so far are up 2 games and on, and they haven't even played their best game yet. Boston yet again doing the same thing, out to a big lead, continuing to shoot the three to no avail. Knicks come back, Bridges is clutch. And here we are, 2 wins away from the first Eastern Conference Finals appearance in 25 years.
And now we need the Garden to rock the way it usually used to rock around now. And I know the fans will certainly take care of their responsibilities. Hopefully the Knicks do the same. They have not played quite well as well at the Garden this year as they usually have in previous playoff iterations. But, I mean, this is a stunning script. It's incredibly foreign to any team in any city, not just our team in our city. You just usually don't win this way, particularly on the road, particularly against defending champions where overall you're not shooting well. Knicks have been in the low 40s both games, out-rebounded twice both games, 0-for-2 there. The first game, we know that they were 17-for-31 from the free throw line. This night, Brunson, game two, was not vintage. Mikal Bridges was invisible until he wasn't, then he became a superstar again. Huh. Like, there's just so many things that add up that should say the Knicks should be down 0-2. Not even 1-1. They should be down 0-2. But what you're starting to see now is a change in personality. And the Celtics, when things matter, and I don't mean when they're playing downhill and they're on a nice little run and the place is rocking and everybody's got a good vibe. I mean when things get a little tough and a little stagnant, the Celtics look soft and the Celtics look hesitant. And when those points hit the games applying to the Knicks, to me, they look tough, they look poised, and they look ready. And I started the show by saying, you know, and I was laughing, but I'm serious. Like, I've been carrying around a lot of Nick guilt, and I just got to get it off my shoulders because, you know, it's a common refrain, and I know there's an expiration point, but I have just hated the way I did not enjoy this Knicks season. I don't know how else I'd just be blunt. I didn't enjoy it because I had one thought about what they would be, and every checkpoint that mattered to me and to many of you, I thought they failed. So I know they won a lot of games. I know they were really good. I know they had 2 starters in the All-Star game, first time since Lord knows when. But I just didn't think that they had it. Now, there's still a lot of flaws from a basketball perspective. But the one thing, and this is where I got to check myself, is that I completely ignored the ability for their heart to grow. Like, you can gel as a team, but that's hard to quantify. But we're seeing it. Because when the moment gets tough, this team has gotten tougher, and I didn't think they had enough dogs.
Which is why I think the biggest advantage that they have over Boston is psychological right now. You could see it the way the Celtics are shooting the three. They have no confidence. The fact that they know they've gotten out to these big leads twice, and they've gotten beat by the Knicks, who haven't even played their best game. You mentioned it with Brunson. It used to be last year was, hey, Brunson has to go nuts. Even against Detroit, hey, Brunson has to go nuts here to have them. He's got to take over a game to have the Knicks win. You're not seeing that in this series. OG Anunoby one night, Bridges in one quarter, Bridges in an overtime period. Carl Anthony Towns having his impact. Josh Hart's been consistent. Mitchell Robinson. You know, the Knicks are healthy now. That is something they were not in the regular season. Mitch showing that he could be a difference maker in this series. Last night had a game to me that was reminiscent of what he did in the Sixers series a year ago. So impactful defensively. The way the Knicks close these games with singular possessions offensively or defensively. That is something that they have excelled at. That's been lacking for many years. Tibbs, I thought, has outcoached Mazzulla in this series so far. Now, with that being said, they're playing with fire here. You don't want to be getting down 20 points, 17 points, whatever it may be, 16 points in the fourth quarter. I don't know if that's sustainable, but they are up 2 games to none. They are returning home, and they are just 2 wins away from knocking off the champs and getting to an Eastern Conference final.
It's amazing. It's awesome. You know, I think it's – but the road success here, I'm going to frame it I'm going to take you on the mound. It's going to be an odd way to look at it, but I think this will matter here. It's mattered so far. Like, take any closer that makes us nervous, and whether it's Armando Benitez.
Devin Williams.
Whether it's Devin Williams up until last night, take it easy. That pitch was looking nasty. Familia here and there. Yeah, we know who they are, right? Yeah. And, you know, they walk the first guy, and it's not a particularly competitive at bat where it's like quick, you know, four or five pitch walk. Then the next batter, ball one, ball two. Now you hear the groans from the crowd. If you're playing it in New York or like Queens or the Bronx, right? You hear the groans. The fans get a little antsy. You can hear that audible, here we go again. And generally that leads to even worse situations for the pitcher because he feels it and then it plays itself out on the mound. If that pitcher's on the road and he walks a guy and he falls behind, the home crowd's not groaning. Much like in the NBA, if the Knicks fall behind by 20 in Boston, the crowd's not groaning. They're enthralled with what they're watching because they're Celtics fans. So, yeah, it's been a recipe for two games there. But if they fall behind big here, they're not going to have the same.
Well, I did it game one against Detroit.
I know, but that's a different monster. Yeah. Detroit had zero playoff experience. Nine guys had never played a playoff game. They hadn't won a playoff game since 2008 as a team. I know. Now, the one thing that's a little different is that as Knicks fans, we're kind of getting used to this. So, I don't know, maybe we're in the Garden on Saturday. They're down by 17. The groans don't come because we're sitting there saying, this is the way we play. But if you keep playing like this, you're going
to
get burned.
And the number one thing to me that's been the shock of this series is Jason Tatum. I would have bet anything for sure. Yeah. He was the best player coming into the series. The guy's an assassin, an NBA champion, one of the great players in the sport. And he has looked awful. Not just one game, two games. He's looked awful shooting the basketball. Now, you credit the Knicks for playing good defense on him, OG Anunoby in particular, the way the Knicks double-team him at the end, whatever. But you'd have to think that at some point, some of those shots are going to start to fall from Tatum. If they don't, the Celtics are dead.
It's over. I don't know that they're going to necessarily start falling here because I don't know if he's healthy. You know, they were talking about his hand last night. And when he hits the deck a few times, like he's very gingerly trying to cushion his fall. And he's dealt with that hand issue. So, I don't know. I mean, sometimes it's not how good you are. It's who you play and, you know, where you are maybe compared to a different point in the season. Right now, the Knicks are healthy. The Knicks are bouncy. The Knicks are battle-tested. Knicks have home court advantage. And the Celtics are the exact opposite. Not a lot of confidence, and they're banged up.
And now the expectations have changed. Now the expectation is not the little engine that could Knicks, which they never really were, but not, I don't know how they're going to look against the champion. Now the expectation is they got to win this series. So that's a whole different element, returning home and the pressure that brings, sure, but also keeping the foot on the throat, putting the dagger through the heart of the champion at home when you're expected now to win a series that you just took a commanding two games to none lead in. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Bill is in Brooklyn. What's up, Bill?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you today?
Good. What's up, Bill?
BT, I've talked to you in the past about the Knicks. I'm the most diehard Knicks fans they come. I'm the reason why Tatum the Celtics. I've been mushing in the last two games. I've been betting them. I got parlays of Pritchard, White, Tatum over 25 points, over three threes. I'm two games in. I've been betting the Celtics live money line, mushing them. I'm two games in. I got to keep going. You got to keep the string. I can't mush the Knicks now. I got to keep the mushing the Celtics.
Do what you got to do. That's an odd way to watch a game. I couldn't do that.
You're rooting to lose money, Bill, or you're rooting for both?
I know. I'm looking at it this way. If my heart's going to be broken by the Knicks losing these games, I might as well win some money out of it rather than being miserable both ways, right?
So I get that. I get that, like the Jets and the Patriots week 17 or the Giants and whomever week 17. I don't get that now, but you do what you got to do, man.
I don't like that because I got to be honest. I can't root against.
No, there's no way I would ever do. There's no chance.
I'm trying to think if I've ever done it before. No, if anything, I'd go the other way where even I bet against what my head is saying and just take the team that I want to win because then I'm all in on the emotions and the finances. Let's have it all come together or all fall apart.
Yeah, we have enough battles with enough conversations within ourselves. We got to start worrying about two different outcomes at the same game.
I can't imagine watching a game and needing Derek White to hit a certain amount of threes or Tatum hit some buckets, but you want the Knicks to win.
Dude, there's no amount of money that could justify for me. I hit an $18 player prop. Ooh.
Evan does this all the time.
Yeah, but he's a nerd with that stuff.
Well, and now Evan's probably emotional hedging. He's probably betting
the
Knicks.
$5 a month.
He might be betting the Knicks. You're right, though. Like, so what's the amount for a Knicks fan to feel like, what would you pay in your mind if you're mushing them or whatever? What are you paying to get the Knicks to the Eastern Conference Finals? For me, I don't want to pay anything. I want to sit back and watch it. I want to enjoy it. I don't have to go into my pocket. But so what? Like, and then what's the reward the other way that makes you feel good if they lost?
You get a few bucks in your pocket.
Okay, so
it's
so
not justifiable.
So what is it? If I put 500 on the Celtics to win the series at this
come
point?
Come on. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if somebody said, hey, we'll pick up your mortgage for the next half a year.
Let's go Celtics. Story, yeah.
I mean, you know, these Jersey taxes, you know, saving money for kids' college fund, life insurance, this, that, you name it. Getting bent over every which way here. But that outside of that, nothing.
Matt is in Hillsborough, New Jersey. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. BT, I can hear Boomer screaming that you're touching the money from here.
That's all right. You know. That's good.
So, good question for you, for both of you. You can only mass, you know, your five-man roster. You can pick from the 94 Knicks and the current Knicks for your starting five.
Honestly, that's like a really fun. That's a fun question.
So you can only pick from the 94 Knicks and this roster,
and you and you make one starting five.
Right.
All right. So this is.
I mean,
great.
It's actually pretty easy when you think about it.
Well, all right. So we got guard. We got forward. I'll go conventional forward. All right. So we got the big fella at center. I'm going to put Towns at the four. He's played there before with Gobert. So I got Patrick at the five. Towns at the four. I've got Brunson obviously at the one. I've got. Let's see. I've got, so he said 94, right? So I can't do Allen Houston. He didn't say anything about 99?
No.
Okay, I'm just making sure. Trying to get a shooter in there, man. All right, so then I guess I would probably go. I mean, I got to get OG in there. I love OG Anunoby. Mm. I love him. I got to get him in there. I mean, I'm not going to put Oakley at the small forward.
No, but he would add some toughness maybe at the power forward.
I'm not going Smith or Starks or Harper because obviously Brunson's better. I mean, you could. You want what? You want to go Bridges at the two and you want to go OG at the three and you only have one Nick from that mid-90s?
How else are you putting another Nick on
there? Really? I don't know how you can justify it.
So the question is, who's the final one? I think it would be Unison. You have to go Ewing. You have to go Brunson, obviously.
Yeah, Towns at the four.
Yeah. You could go OG at the three.
Uh-huh.
And then who's your two guard?
Well, that's why I said Bridges here. I'm not going Starks. I know you love Starks. I do, too. I can't go Starks there.
Better he's defensively.
Too erratic. Too erratic.
And he's smaller, but defensively. 6'5". I don't know. I mean,
it's a tough call.
I don't know if I could go Bridges, though.
I mean, that was my hesitation.
Yeah. I don't know if I could go Bridges.
So you're going Starks?
What, would you go Josh Hart?
Not as a two guard. No way.
Okay.
That's tricky.
A tough call. So is it down to Bridges and Starks?
OG's in it.
Or you go Oak and move everybody else down, I guess. Or like you said, Oak power.
You have Carl Anthony Towns at the three?
Yeah, or Oak at the three, but you don't want that because you can't.
You want Patrick at the two guard? I mean, how wacky? We got to root it in reality a little bit.
It's positionless basketball.
Well, but Towns played the four last year with Gobert. Patrick's obviously conventional five. OG's conventional three.
How about Brunson a one? How about Derek Harper as the point guard and Brunson as the two guard?
That might be a good pull right there, my boy. I'll tell you what, my brain
defense,
wasn't going there.
Yeah.
Because I was just, Brunson the man.
True point guard, defense, knock down some big threes.
That is pretty, pretty good. Now, you're small in the backcourt. You're small. But John Starks wasn't tall either.
6'5". So I'd go Harper, Stark. It has to be Harper, Starks, or Bridges. I just have a tough time. Now, who's the most talented of the group? It's Bridges. I don't even think it's close.
You know what? I'm going to take your lead. I'm going to go Derek Harper 1, Brunson 2.
I think you could also make a case for Josh Hart. I don't know why you've been dismissing him.
I love Josh Hart.
You were ripping him in the Pistons series.
I wasn't ripping him. He can't shoot.
He's been knocking down some shots here.
That's why I'm not ripping him anymore.
Yeah. He scored 23 last night.
Listen, if you do what I want you to do, I don't rip you. It's a very easy situation here, Sal.
Hart was their leading scorer last night, as a matter of fact. We haven't even mentioned his name.
I know, we have not mentioned it. Hey, by the way, speaking of, we mentioned OG before in the starting five. Did you think, I mean, how do you not get a review there? That dunk in traffic.
Yeah, I know.
I believe Derek White took it.
Yeah.
Dude, that's not a foul on OG. I don't think he was fully set. And I'm not even, I didn't even love the replay.
Yeah, they didn't
I'm not
want
even sure
challenge.
If his heel was out of the restricted area. I think that should have been an N1.
Yeah. I mean, why didn't the Knicks challenge? I don't know. OG was upset, but that was an incredible
play. Well, you
play.
Saw Thibodeau kind of looking at his guy, but they didn't get it in time enough. I don't know.
So what's your final answer here?
I'm going to go Derek Harper 1, Brunson 2, OG 3, Carl at the 4, Patrick Big Fell at the 5.
No, it was only 94, Hoff. Hoff was saying what no, I'll use it. Only 94. I'm torn. I honestly can't. I mean, I love Harper. I love Starks. Hart, Bridges. I'd have to think about how I want this team to gel. Are we trying to shoot more threes? Do we want a little toughness?
Here's a little backdoor curve for you.
Here's the one thing, BT. Yeah. I think I would go because you have two clear liabilities defensively with Towns and Brunson. So I think I would value defense. Although all those four guys, I guess, play defense. It's just a matter of which one. Do you want more size with Bridges?
Who's Derek Harper? 6'3", right? And he was tough, 6'4", too.
6'4", maybe? 6'4".
I think he was 6'3". But he could have been 6'4". He was on the bigger side.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm torn on that, honestly. I can't give you an answer right
now. I gave you mine. I'm going to go Derek Harper. By the way, if the Knicks would have won that series, Derek Harper would have won the MVP.
I freaking love Derek Harper.
Remember when he got in the fight with JoJo White and Stern was right in front of him? JoJo
Wingles. The OG number 11, Derek Harper.
He was. Hey, real quick, here's the backdoor curve. All time. Who's playing guard? Frazier?
Well, I can't.
Well, you can't? Didn't see him play. But
it's hard for me to do that.
Well, you go Frazier 1 instead of Derek Harper. Brunson 2. And then you go, I would go Willis Reed at the power 4.
Yeah.
Patrick 5. Maybe like a DeBuscher or so. I mean, I'm not saying
yeah, you're
easy.
Going way back. But
I know.
How about if you go from 94 on where you can include Allen Houston, Sprewell?
I still wouldn't start Houston there.
You would not.
I like Allen. I really like Allen, but I'm not starting him there, and I'm not starting Spree.
I think I can make a case for Houston where you just go, you know, you got instant offense with him.
He was a turnstile on defense, dude. Yeah. He couldn't D up anybody.
I know. I think you're lacking offense, I want to say, but you just feed it down low with the bigs, with Ewing and Towns, or stretch the floor with Towns on the perimeter, Ewing down low. Now you're cooking. Actually, that's what exactly they would do. Keep Towns on the perimeter and feed Ewing down low.
I've said twice how much...
I take Harper, too, because Harper better at delivering the basketball down low in the post.
No, he knew the big fella had to eat.
Yeah,
get it to him right on the hands.
Basketball the way that Brunson is.
He wasn't because he was a pure point. He was bred a point guard. So I've said a couple times here, there was that 5 or 6 minute span where truly Karl Anthony Towns kind of... I felt like I was watching Ewing. And whenever we talk about Ewing, you and I always get into it because I love him. But, we disagree a little bit how he played, whatever, and his upside, his ceiling, how great he was, whatever. He was great, but there's varying degrees. These games, again, remind me how much I miss watching Patrick play. Even with his flaws. Like, man, before a big Knick game. Remember sitting there like the old NBC?
He was a beast.
Today, the Knicks. Patrick Ewing and the Knicks take on. And, he was the only guy that we truly had. And, he had nothing around him. He was such a warrior.
Right, which makes it so much fun to watch these teams because this team's got four guys that could go out there and score and light it up any night. And last night it was Josh Hart, who's the fifth guy. Jerry is in Wilton, Connecticut. What's up, Jerry?
Guys, what a week, huh? I mean, it's just great to be a Knicks fan this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give a chance. Give a chance. Jerry, go ahead, buddy.
I think, and you'll never get the Knicks to say this, but I think it's because this team is the product of two completely separate offseason strategies. When they made the trade for Bridges in February, I think final piece of the January Knicks from last year. And I think they had a reasonable assurance they were going to retain Hartenstein.
No, they couldn't.
And figured I know they couldn't, but I don't think, I think they thought he would take their money if no one came in.
Gotcha. Okay, go ahead.
Oklahoma City comes in. Now we don't have a center. Mm-hmm. Now we're thinking about Randall's walk year. So they get a willing suitor in Minnesota, and all of a sudden now you've got parts of two different teams that were never meant to play together.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a year for that all to come together.
That's an interesting point. You might be right. How infrequent is it, and thanks for that call there, Jerry, where you pull the trigger on a trade 3 days before camp? And 3 days before camp, you know? You don't see that anywhere. I mean, maybe like a middle infielder or fourth outfielder in baseball, or like a seventh or eighth arm in the bullpen that's never going to get a high leverage spot. You don't see. Maybe there's one or two, like a holdout or just an egregious, a broken relationship between a franchise where you're like, all right, we have to trade him. But that was 3 days before the start of camp. So, and I didn't afford them much of a grace period. I admit that. but I was also factoring in the year before. It was a very complex analysis.
Oh, you loved
of
last
these
year's
Knicks.
Team.
I loved them. I love well, but that's only part of it.
Right.
I did, but I was so open, and I liked the trades.
Right.
I wanted to love this team. They just didn't give me enough evidence or reason to do it.
Or you didn't give them enough time, especially that they weren't healthy. That was a big factor. What?
It's funny how you flipped that.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't give it up, so now it's a me thing.
Well, no, I don't think you were alone, but I don't know how anybody could be definitive about their assessment of this team where we never saw them fully healthy. And Mitchell Robinson, love him or hate him or whatever, he was a key part of what this team was supposed to be. And you saw that since he's come back a little bit. And we never saw this team healthy, and we didn't see them get, the postseason is just a different animal in the NBA. The regular season, I hate to say it, but we all know it.
Yeah.
It means nothing.
That's awful.
So teams ratchet it up, turn it up in the postseason, and you're going to learn about groups when the postseason starts. So for me, it was always more about, which I know, by the way, is sometimes not fair or not as fun because you're not reacting night in, night out to regular season basketball. Okay, you could watch the games, but it's like, that's great. They beat the Hornets. They lost to the Warriors. They lost to the Celtics. 0-10 was the story, but there's a lot of circumstance involved there, mainly to me that they weren't 100% healthy for all those games. And now that obviously means nothing, but it's also the first year with big personalities, big-time players trying to gel together.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see where we're at. And by the way, I still don't think that they're
They're not shooting well, so they're not there, which gives us reason to think this thing could be going on into June, which would be amazing. I don't think they brought in, if they brought in big personalities, then I think it would be more reason, all right, takes a while, maybe some early clashings. Carl Anthony Towns, he conforms. Mikal Bridges, he doesn't say a word.
Which is part of your problem.
Well, sometimes that bothers me. Yeah. But, he conforms. It's not like you got, multiple alphas who need 17, 18 shots, and Brunson's not giving up the rock. Like, I know he monopolizes it sometimes out of necessity, but he is a very selfless superstar. Towns is a very low-maintenance star. Bridges is a very low-maintenance, talented ancillary piece. So I don't think it was, the big dynamic of personalities, but and I know the NBA regular season is largely useless, but contrast this very quickly here, Sal. Let's say Mets and the Dodgers, all right?
Mm.
Let's say the Mets and the Dodgers play each other, I don't know, 12 times in a season, right? And the Mets win 10 times or the Dodgers win 10 times, whatever. It's very one-sided one way, 9-3, 11-1, 10-2, whatever it might be. Very obviously favoring somebody. And then you get, say, the Knicks and the Celtics, elite teams. Knicks are the Cavs. Knicks are the Thunder. I know that they're in a different conference. And they play a ton of times. Don't you think the results in basketball, even though NBA's regular season basically means zip, especially with the erosion of home court advantage, to your point earlier, for the playoffs, don't you think it's more reflective of matchups? I do. I think that it's easier to deduce watching teams play even by 4, 5, 6 times in the regular season, all right, this team's shut. They have a guy that we can't stop, or they do things that we just don't have answers for. I never say that in baseball.
See, I wouldn't. In your analogy or whatever here, your example of the baseball, if the Mets beat the Dodgers 10 out of 12, I'd feel better about them going into baseball, going into the postseason. I feel like that's more in line with the regular season. If it's that type of dominance, is more in line to carry over in the postseason.
In baseball.
Yes.
See, I don't feel that way at all.
Especially when you factor in injuries. The fact that the Knicks weren't healthy, that's a big deal. To me, it was a big deal. And each of those games had different circumstances. The best barometer in the regular season was the last game that they played against Boston. And that was a game that could have gone either way.
And Jaylen Brown didn't play the whole game. And, KP was great. KP's obviously hurt now, sick, I should say.
So, by the way, I'm also not overreacting to just these two games. The Knicks have not played clean games. I think it's more about Boston just not being able to knock down a shot, which can change quickly. The Knicks have been getting down 20, 17 points. That's not a good way. It very easily could be the other way, 0-2.
I mean, and it's not like they were down. Yeah, it could be, for sure. But when you're down 14 points with 6 minutes ago, like you're down 27 in the third quarter, 3 minutes in, where you have to chip away. And the game's basically over. Right. Amazing.
Yesterday, I thought the game was over.
So did I.
It's going to be a fun next week, BT. We got today's Thursday. Obviously, I'm trying to get my bearings here as I'm just getting back to work yesterday. So a shorter week for me this week. Tomorrow, whatever, we can look forward to the weekend, maybe talk some more baseball. We didn't really get into that at all today. Obviously, both teams off today as well. Mets return home, taking on the Cubs. Yanks will go to take on the A's. Big series win for the Yanks. But next week, we're going to have on Monday, game three to react to.
Yep.
We are going to have game four that night. So Tuesday, game four to react to. And depending on what happens from there, potentially a game five and also the Subway Series and the return of Juan Soto. Next week will be one of the better sports weeks of the entire year as far as New York sports are concerned.
I think it's certainly, well, it might be the best week since I came to WFAN.
Oh, jeez.
What? No, what do you mean? What do you mean? Oh, jeez.
What do you mean the best week? What was the topics back then when you came to WFAN?
That's what I'm saying. Not much. I mean, I'm saying.
Oh, I thought you meant the best week since, like, you know, since they brought you in to WFAN.
Meaning, that's
like,
what I meant.
Yeah. No.
I'm not saying it's because of me.
Meaning it's the best week since you've been a part of.
I've been here about 4 years, and I don't know if there's been a better week.
Okay.
What's so confusing about that?
I took that as, like, you know, the best week since they've hired me.
No,
you
know? I didn't mean it like that at all.
Yeah, I don't know why I took it like that.
I don't know. That's a you thing. I mean, last year, now listen, maybe I'm being a prisoner of the moment, because last year we had the Knicks and the Rangers. We were also thinking, hey, maybe we'd mess around summer of 94. For a moment before the Rangers flamed out, the Knicks, the injuries caught up. So maybe I'm kind of minimizing that in the moment here. But, I mean, the Soto return to the Bronx is massive. Both the Yanks and the Mets, though, and they avoided the losing another series yesterday. They've been a little skittish the last 10 days or so, but both are in first place.
Remember Yanks-Mets postseason, though, last year? Yanks going to the World Series, Mets on their run. Those are some big weeks. Obviously, Giants and Jets never help us out, although all the chaos sometimes. But this, it does feel a little bit different because you have the two teams with the Mets and Yanks meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I don't want to say they're both at their apex right now, but both playing at a high level, both currently in first place, meeting with the return of Soto, which just takes it to another level. So forget that they're playing well. Soto's return to the Bronx after signing with the Mets is something that's never happened before. Combine that with the Knicks on the verge of their first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years.
I can't believe it's been 25 years, dude. I mean, I can, because we lived it, but it's insane. So, yeah, so we got Saturday, Monday, Wednesday. Now, we don't know what time Game 5 is going to be. We don't know that yet.
Monday, do we know Game 4, 7:30?
Yeah, Monday's at 7:30. Okay. Wednesday, they have yet. I would imagine it's probably in the same window there, but that's TBD. Friday, of course, which was the dilemma yesterday that we touched on with me electing to bow out.
I might be going to two games next week.
That's true. Game 4 and Game 6 of front row Juan Soto to the Bronx. I said I cannot miss a Knick playoff game. And you asked me yesterday. I said there's definitely going to be six. You know, and now I think there's going to be six. I think I'm going to be watching the clincher at this point. And then if I'm not, then Monday night, which would be an 8 p.m. tip, Game 7 at the Garden. The Boston Garden. So it's going to be absolutely nuts. And, yeah, I mean, does it matter? The best week, the second best, it doesn't matter. We've had a lot of quiet weeks around here the last bunch, this century.
Right.
With the winter sports here. And it's, I know the Rangers fell up and fell way short, and they imploded, made some changes. Knicks are carrying the mail, and looks like they're going to be carrying it for a while.
Take us right into the summer.
Right into June.
When
NBA Finals.
Yeah, I know. Hector is in Washington Heights. What's up, Hector?
Guys, how you doing, man?
Good.
Sal, you know, we've texted. You know how I feel about you and your family.
Good
to have you back.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'm thinking about you guys, especially your wife. I just don't imagine what she's going through.
Appreciate that.
But, guys, listen, man, I've been messing around. You know, I do my stuff. I have fun or whatever. And my friends I talk to. And I've been calling this the summer of fun. The last thing in my mind was that the Knicks were going to be part of the summer of fun for me. And I got to be honest. I'm coming here to ask for you guys advice. Oh, for your guidance, I don't know what it is. Because I've been out on this team. I've been out somewhere like BT. I really didn't believe. I watched throughout the season. I wasn't impressed. You know, I was someone who, I like fighting. I like growing. So I wanted to see the team come back with Randall and those guys. It didn't happen. Had to get over it. This is better for the team. This is where we need to beat Boston. Whatever. We didn't beat them in the regular season. But here we are. And we get to the playoffs. And, you know, I've called you guys during the first round. I've spoken to you. I still wasn't into it. I was like, I got to see them beat them. They beat them. So much so that my friends have been throwing around Major League Randy Quaid meme at me, talking about, they're going to lose in the playoffs. I know you know, guys remember that from the movie.
They never win. The guy in the outfield
beat the drum. That's what they've labeled me in the group chats, because that's what I've been.
Yeah.
So now here I am. I didn't even watch last night because I was tired.
I've been getting up early. What do you mean you didn't even watch? How are you not watching?
This guy's your friend.
Everybody that believes is telling me, They're going to lose game two. So I'm like, why am I going to waste my time?
You still got to watch the game. Are you insane?
I know. Disgusting. So this is where I'm at now, Sal. I'm the guy that usually organizes watch parties in the hood. Let's bring out a TV to the streets. Let's go to a bar somewhere. Let's go here. Let's go there. I'm like, can I do that now? Am I a phony?
You can, but if I'm your friends, I wouldn't show up.
Am I going to mess up the juju? What do I do, guys? What do I do?
I think you go to church. I think you beg for penance is what you do.
You know, it's funny you say that. Ugh. I'll get back to Hector in a second. I got
That's repulsive, by the way. We got to get back to that.
I got multiple texts last night.
From?
Random, either friends or acquaintances, saying, tell your partner he can't enjoy this ride.
Yeah, well, okay. How old are your friends?
Roughly my age.
Here's what I would say to anybody who's going to say that. So they're too old for me for this to apply.
What is an acquaintance? I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, friends, acquaintance. Yeah. What are people you know? I got you. I have been watching the Knicks while many of your moms were still wiping your behinds. All right? So there will be no apologies. There will be no begging. It is what it is. When mommy had a little cold washcloth and your little peach was firing, you know, up in the air because you're probably 8 months old, I was watching Bernard King. So get back in your holes, okay? There will be no public apology tour. Now, I can say that I was wrong in misreading some of the things, but yeah. I mean, I've gotten some of that? You don't think I've gotten some of that?
Are you talking about
Enjoy this. Oh, you can't jump back.
Mets. Like, yeah, okay.
Yes. Let me adhere to the non. You know, you're right. I don't enjoy that. Let me step aside for the next 10 days.
Because we call it how it is or say how we feel. Yeah, that takes the fan card away. Like you said, I think you said it perfectly. I wasn't even going to bring it up, actually. No, I'm lying. I was going to bring it up at some point, but Hector made me think of it. But I ignored it because I'm like, come on. Yeah, okay, he can't enjoy it. You're a diehard Knicks fan as much as anybody else. Doesn't matter what we think about what's going to happen. We react to what is going to happen. Now, back to Hector for a second, because there are things we could say that, oh, I don't believe the Knicks are going to win. Oh, I don't believe they have any heart. Whatever it may be. I don't think Towns is any good. Mm-hmm. Or don't like the coach. But there are things that are inexcusable and unforgivable. I don't know how you can't watch a game.
That's the worst sin. That's worse than leaving a stadium early when you're down 7-1 in the eighth inning or 21-3 in the fourth quarter at MetLife. Or down 4-1 in the third period at the Garden or out at UBS. That is utterly unacceptable. Hector, that is... I don't view you the same way, Hector.
I don't know. He's a diehard passionate...
He's a great guy.
Mets fan. Diehard passionate Mets fan. You cannot call yourself a Knicks fan. This is where now we make the rules. You cannot call yourself a Knicks fan if you're not watching the playoffs. Hey, you don't want to watch Knicks Orlando in whatever, October or February? Fine. There's no excuse. And he doesn't even have an excuse. He can't say, I was watching the Mets or Mets and Yankees. The Mets finished up in the afternoon.
I was going to say, you beat me to it. Yeah, the Mets were, and even then it's not
correct equivalent.
You record the match and you give the Knicks more attention, but the Mets game was over. Mets won.
Say you're a Knicks fan. You're not even going to watch the game.
See, that's
Hector,
not a fan to me.
You're going to have to dig out of that one.
That's not a Knicks fan to me. It's not a Knicks fan.
You got to watch the game.
That's
not
a Knicks fan.
I wanted to shut game one off down 20, but I didn't.
But we didn't. That's like, oh God, there's nothing, there's really nothing he can say that, like he asked, I need your, help.
So you want to help?
I'm not going to give it to you.
Instead we buried him. He comes to us for help.
Exactly. We said we crush him. We just run him over like a freight train.
Yeah.
Listen, if there was something that I could say to him that would get him off the hook or change how I'm sure everybody that heard that call perceives him, I would volunteer it. There's nothing. He just hung himself. You know, it's one thing if it's like a big game, but it's like 10:30, like Knicks Lakers, regular whatever, or you just, Knicks Yankees Seattle or Mets and the Giants. You're like, I'm exhausted. Life gets in the way. The game was at 7. You weren't working. You didn't watch it because you didn't think the Knicks had a chance to win. After they won the first game, here's your punishment. You're not allowed to watch game 3. Not allowed to watch it.
See, I'm not going to go there.
I'm going there. If you don't watch game 3 and you truly adhere to that and you really don't watch it, then you can watch game 4 and we'll welcome you back. But you are in jail for a game, not a second.
You came to us for help, Hector. You did something that is unforgivable by not watching the game. I will have mercy on you and say that the very least you could do is dive back in. and give it everything you got. It doesn't mean I'm going to allow you fully back on if this continues to advance into the next round. A long way to go, but for me, BT, it would start at the very least. How about this? Go back and watch Game 2 on Rewind or something. Figure it out. Go on YouTube. Watch Game 2 and then watch Game 3 and dive in. Put the Mets aside.
Not good enough for me. He made a conscious decision. Game 2 of the conference finals against Boston.
Up 1-0.
I know. Did not watch willingly. Jail.
I will have mercy on Hector. I didn't know they were allowed to replay these games from TNT. This is game two, right? This is game from last night. Yeah, Knicks League one.
Yeah, I mean,
look at that. MSG. This is on MSG that we have in studio here. We're playing the game.
Yeah.
Because Hector was texting. He's like, oh, you guys were harsh on me. But I'll go back and find
him. Soft on him.
He said, quote, if BT can be allowed back in, so could I.
Is that what he said?
He did.
Yeah, I mean, Hector's looking for something to latch onto now. Heck, I mean, the jail stint's going to get longer, buddy.
Also, guys have to understand that because we give an opinion, or whoever gives an opinion on a team that they happen to be a fan of, like that's what we do, doesn't mean you can't root for them anymore. So what, we're supposed to have blind faith in something we don't believe in just so you think that we can root for the team? Get the hell out of here with that. I respect the fact that UBT as a Knicks fan could be critical of the team. I may disagree with it, but I was critical of the team last year, so I would hope that you and others would respect that. Doesn't mean I can't enjoy the run, it's just that I didn't believe in certain aspects of the team. This year, same thing. You didn't believe in certain aspects of the team. I didn't believe in Pete Alonso. I never believed he would do this. Doesn't mean I'm not enjoying it right now.
By the way, Pete's going to win the MVP and the Knicks going to win the NBA champion.
Yeah, I mean,
we should always be so wrong here, Sal.
But that's what sports fans do. We give our opinion based on, I could give you multiple reasons why I believed Alonso was going to have a big year, or multiple reasons why I still believed in the Knicks. You could give your reasons why they didn't. Yeah, I mean, come on with this. Oh, you can't enjoy it. Get the hell out of here. The one thing that I have a major issue with fans nowadays, much like a lot of the athletes, fans are extremely soft. In this town, we used to be critical. We used to boo. We used to have the highest of expectations, demand the best from our athletes and our teams. Not men with, like, ill will or harm, but, like, come on. We're New York City. We expect a lot more from you. And the fans have gotten so soft that they accept a lot less than, to me, the highest of expectations. Now, we're fortunate where the Mets and Yankees are at a high level. The Knicks are back to a high level, so it's good in that regard. There should be higher levels, like you get to a championship level. The Yankee fan has been the one constant that has not accepted less than. It's something I've always respected.
Mm-hmm.
But the Mets are way behind in that regard. The football teams are way behind in that regard. And the basketball team is maybe the furthest behind, where they would accept Carmelo as being a great Knick.
Yeah.
Where you and I both agree that he was nothing even close to that.
I think people have changed. You know, I think when you look at the older fan who's probably less inclined to jump on social media and fire off a tweet, or jump on Instagram and fire off a video, or even maybe call us here, although we get a lot of, you know, older callers, which we love, that have listened to the station forever. I think generally there's more tolerance or more acceptance, or, you know, the rules, if you will, of fandom have changed a bit. There's different parameters, and you and I are still largely rooted in our old school stuff. You know, listen, the fan police is an interesting thing, and I really don't jump into it much. And I agree with what you just said about being critical and all that stuff. But, like, the only way that I think I would really have an issue, not even to the point where I'd go nuts, I'd just be like, you're not authentic, I'm not going to waste my time on you. Like, if you're, I don't mean you messing around with the Islanders going because you know the owner. I'm not talking about that. Like, if you're a devout Devils fan, you're from a Jersey suburb, you've been rooting for 15 years, and the Rangers win the cup, and suddenly you're wearing a Rangers jersey at the parade. Like, all right, what are we doing? Or I do have a little fun, but I don't get the fan who says, I love the Yankees and the Mets. That's less egregious. I don't like it. I don't get it. There's a couple things that I would write down a few rules, but, you know, telling somebody that, oh, no, you can't jump back in because you've been critical.
The hell
out. That's one of the things I always enjoyed about sports radio. People saying it the way it was. And by the way, when I said it, I was right. I was largely right. And if we're taking laps, or if we're doing penance or accepting punishment for maybe being off about the Knicks, I got the sack to jump in the front of the line and at least push my shoulders back and say, yo, I was wrong. But if people are honest, there's a lot of people, or there should be a lot of people behind me as well.
And by the way, I was trying to say this yesterday. You shouldn't be taking those L's just yet, because long way to go here.
Yeah, but I take the L for the heart.
Yeah.
Okay, remember, this, fair enough. Separating between them winning the championship.
Well,
or...
But that's a big difference. People are making like the Knicks already won the championship, yep. And they didn't. And I hate the fact that yesterday specifically, I had to come on and appear to throw cold water on things. That's what one caller referred to it as. When I was just being realistic about the situation. You won one game and you did it in extreme fashion, meaning down 20 to come back like that. Now, I certainly didn't think that it was possible to do back-to-back games, let alone twice in a seven-game series, and they did it, so they proved me wrong in that regard. I didn't think that that type of game would happen again, but the overreaction to just a game in a series, and even now, more overreaction, but now it's two games, so they're two games away. That's the reality of the situation. The other reality is it takes four games. Last I checked, to win a best-of-seven, you have to win four games, and the Knicks, and you brought this up before, again, what does this mean? Who knows? They were big underdogs the first two games. They're significant underdogs again in game three.
5.5 points. They're dogs.
At home.
I know. Well, they haven't played well at home.
But that's a big deal.
I know it is. Can you explain something to me? As much as I know about the NBA and watch it and really enjoy some elements of it, I think it's an eroding product, as I've said. But I really have been an NBA person my entire life. I don't understand. How does it happen that the Knicks are wearing white jerseys less than Boston's rocking green? I'm not even like mad. I'm just like, I wouldn't do that. But can I please have the answer? Like, is that decided by the league? Does Boston, because of the home team, have the option? And then they say, hey, we're doing this now. As a result of us doing this, subsequently, you have to do that?
Yes, I believe that.
I think that's probably it. Now, then the Knicks would declare, all right, we're going to wear home whites on Saturday. And if they don't, do they wear blue and give the option to the city? Like, it's just so stupid. And one thing, they better get, I said this the other day, that blurry, weak, faint wuss.
Oh, man.
Knick half-court logo that they mess around with sometimes, that better not be visible on Saturday.
If they're going to do it Saturday, because I'm going Monday.
No, don't do it Saturday.
Don't do it ever again. I'm fine with that. No. But I know it's probably going to be one of these two games.
They're going to
wear those stupid jerseys with that stupid logo.
Blurry New York three times down. I can't stand that.
I don't want it to be at the game I'm at, so I'm going to be selfish there. Do it. If you're going to do it in game three. If not, just don't do it, period. I'll align with you there.